The first holiday party I had been to since Sarah's death went exactly as expected. There were people I hadn't seen since the funeral. Old friends who couldn't meet my gaze, whose eyes welled up as we talked. I left as early as was remotely polite and headed across Tucson as the last daylight winked out of the western sky. Since moving out of town, I had grown less patient with people anyway, especially people in groups. Sarah had been the social one, me the loner. I drove east to Benson, then south, traffic diminishing with every mile. St. David was quiet, Tombstone snoozing. A few miles past there, I turned left onto the long country two-lane that wound out of the hills and across the valley. On this winter's night, clouds filled the sky, hiding the moon, blotting out the stars. I wasn't really listening to the Christmas music playing on the radio. My mind wandered as I followed the path my headlights carved through the night. I knew the road almost well enough to drive it blindfolded, the wide, sweeping curve to the left just ahead, followed by a sharper bend to the right that led into a gentle S. My high beams picked up yellow signs that confirmed my muscle memory. The left, then the right, then the... The road stretched out straight as a ruled line where it should have turned. Had I really been that out of it? And if so, then where was I? Farther along than I figured, there were no straight stretches for several miles after the highway. I looked for landmarks, but there was just darkness. Dry grass along the sides, and the asphalt ahead. I was awake and alert now. Not worried yet, but that was on the way. If I didn't see something familiar soon, then it would hit. Instead, I saw something completely unexpected. At the end of the straight was a sign indicating a hairpin turn to the right. I had been tearing along at 70. I took my foot off the gas and stomped on the brake, eased into the hairpin. There had never been a hairpin turn on this road. I'd only had one drink, less than, half a glass of spiked eggnog. Sarah's drink, not mine. I wasn't impaired, and I had driven this road at least 100 times. No hairpins. Had I taken a wrong turn somewhere? That made no sense. There were no other paved roads that cut across the valley, not until beyond Bisbee, and I had been nowhere near there yet. But this road wasn't the one I knew. I slowed down, 45. 40, watching for anything I recognized. Grass, yellow and stiff, barbed wire, every now and then the dark, silent bulk of a cow. Another few miles passed, more unfamiliar turns. Then a house appeared in the headlights. It was made of stone, old and weathered. It looked like something Sarah and I had seen in the French countryside years ago on our honeymoon. I pulled off, killed the engine, got out. I looked back toward the farmhouse, but it was gone, swallowed by darkness or never there at all. The only sounds were a faint breeze rustling the dry grass and the ticking of the car. I stood on trembling legs, trying to peer through the night, but there wasn't a light in any direction. I got back in, slammed the door, turned the key. We had a GPS unit. I had never liked it, but Sarah had, and it was paid up through March. I switched it on. It flickered, crackled, and went black. I clicked it off and on again. Nothing. I pulled my cell from my pocket. Not expecting much. Never any bars out here. There still weren't. I swore softly and dropped it into an empty cup holder. Who would I call anyway? I could turn around, head back to the highway. Or I could keep going. This road would end sometime, somewhere. It had to, didn't it? I kept going. A few minutes later, I saw lights coming toward me, enough to illuminate a small town. A big truck. I pulled over again, clambered from the car. As it drew near, I desperately waved my arms over my head. The monster barreled past, its engine screaming, its lights blinding me. "Please," I cried. But it didn't slow, didn't stop. In another minute, it was gone. Shoulders slumped, I crossed back to my car. Hopelessness was setting in. I was out here in the dark, and it was getting cold, and I was lost, and I had no one to call, no one to hurry home to. I cranked the engine, shut off the Christmas music, pulled out onto the empty road. Wasn't it strange that there still hadn't been another car in either direction, just that single truck? I gripped the wheel hard to keep my fingers from shaking and continued heading in what should have been my direction. making unfamiliar turns, seeing in my headlights strange sights. Fields thick with tall green corn stalks, split rail fences instead of barbed wire. A herd of elk crossing a river. None of those things existed, not here, or not in the here that I knew. But I was no longer there. I'd made a turn somewhere that took me to some other place, not southern Arizona, but what then? Another dimension? Another reality? I couldn't say any more than I could say where the road would end. Getting home seemed unlikely now. Where the road should have gone straight, it curved, or it should have dropped 1,000 feet. It climbed. I kept driving because I kept panic at bay, but only just. And then a stop sign came into view, with a familiar thatch of grass around it, a ramshackle barn I knew well standing at the edge of my headlights. Beyond the stop sign, the highway that would take me home. I had come, suddenly and without warning, back onto familiar turf. Two cars rushed past, heading south. I waited a few moments, then followed. As I neared my empty home, I realized that the strange road had a lesson to teach. One I already knew all too well. None of us knows what lies ahead, what's around the next bend, the next sweep of the clock's hands, the next sunrise. Every road takes us someplace we've never been. We crash blindly through life, maintaining emotional equilibrium by the most slender of threads. We raise lights against the darkness, but in the end, the darkness will envelop us, will extinguish our flames. I drove into the carport, shut off the engine. The house was silent. I followed the walkway to the front door, inserted a key, and turned it. The door howled on its hinges. Nothing greeted me but cold and the faintest aroma of that morning's coffee. I flicked a switch. Lamps blazed, chasing back shadows. In the light, I looked at a framed photograph of Sarah. I touched it, the glass cool and smooth, unyielding as a memory. I could see Sarah, but I couldn't reach the person behind the glass. Then I turned off the light and stood by the window and stared out into the night.
That was fantasy, science fiction, and comic book author Jeffrey J. Marion. Shortly after reading that story, Jeff left our studios to drive back to his home in Douglas on that very same stretch of highway. His latest book is called Dark Vengeance, Volume 1.